In our study last week, we left Jesus and his disciples and his enemies as well on Abib 12, the 12th day of the first month, which was a Monday in that year of 30 AD, 2 days before the Passover. In the sermonette today, I'd like us to continue for a couple of minutes with that timeline, in time order, of course, and to take a look at some of the important preparation events of the following day in that year, Tuesday, Abib 13, AD 30. Tuesday, Abib 13, AD 30. So we can correctly think of that day, that Tuesday, as the proper preparation day for the proper keeping of the Passover. Now, all four gospel writers mention Jesus and his disciples making their final Passover preparations on that day, at Tuesday, Abib 13. But because Luke gives us perhaps the most complete version, let's begin with his account. So please turn to Luke chapter 22, and this is a somewhat puzzling verse. Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, and the word bread is actually added in there. Then came the day of unleavened, or unleavens, when the Passover must be killed. Okay. Is this right? This can't be right, can it? This verse, brethren, has caused so much confusion over the years, in Matthew's and Mark's versions, as well as in Luke's. These two phrases definitely need some explanation. So let's take a look at them. First, let's look at the phrase, the day of unleavened bread. From the following verses, in this and the other three gospel accounts, we can know for absolutely sure which day this was. This day clearly was not the first day of unleavened bread. It was not the 15th day of the first month. It clearly was the 13th day of the first month. And according to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 18, you don't have to turn there, God's people do not need to have all of the leaven out of our homes until the sunset that ends Abib 14 and begins Abib 15. The night that Exodus 12:42 refers to as a night to be much observed to the Lord. And this is the night that they left Egypt. So so Abib 15 was the beginning of the holy day of the first day of unleavened bread. But this verse 7 is talking about the 13th day of the first month. So we ask the question, why do the gospel writers refer to Abib 13 as the day of unleavened, or the day of unleavens, as Fred Coulter would have it? And the answer is that if you think about it, in our day, in our modern day, because most of our houses are much bigger than what theirs were back then in that area, and because our Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread preparations usually keep us quite busy, many of us often choose to begin our de-leavening much earlier. So it must have been something similar back then too, during Jesus' human lifetime, and probably even more so considering the amount of preparation that they would have had to do for Passover night and for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But if you think about it as well, most of their houses were much smaller than most of ours today. And most first century Jews could easily have had the de-leavening part of their preparations started and finished in just one day. and possibly and practically that day would have been the 13th day of Abib, the day that led up to and still does lead up to Passover night. Okay, what about the second phrase here? When the Passover must be killed. When the Passover must be killed. So in explanation of this second issue with verse 7, we need to understand that as the modern saying goes, there were two kinds of Jews. There were two kinds, we say there's two kinds of this and there's two kinds of that. So there were two kinds of Jews. They were those who obeyed God's instructions, and there were those who'd been deceived into disobeying them. There were those who kept the Passover at the correct time and in the correct place, and there were those who'd been deceived into keeping it at the wrong time and in the wrong place. And again, maybe this was part of the reason why the Apostle John, in his Gospel account, makes three specific references to, quote-unquote, the Jews' Passover. The Jews' Passover. Don't have to turn there now. But according to the Lord's instructions in Exodus chapter 12, which we've read over the past couple of weeks, and in other scriptures too, the correct time for killing and preparing and roasting and eating the Passover lambs was after sunset at the beginning of the 14th day of the first month of Abib. The incorrect time was at the end of the 14th day of the first month, which, if you think about that, would obviously result in those lambs actually being eaten during the 15th day. Also, the correct place for all of these Passover activities was either in the Israelites' own individual homes, or for visitors, as Jesus and the disciples were, in their temporary dwellings. Okay, so the correct place was in individual homes or temporary dwellings. The incorrect place was at the temple. Nothing wrong with the temple, but that was the incorrect place to keep the Passover. And I wonder as well, thinking about what we read over the last couple of weeks, maybe this was why Jesus possibly spent two Passovers up around Galilee in order to make this point. Not sure of that, but that is a possibility. So, what do we have here? We have many disobedient Jews, including the priests, and actually led by the priests, who would have had literally thousands of lambs to kill and prepare. I don't know, maybe even millions, I don't know, to kill and prepare in time for their mistimed Passover service. You know, and I got Passover in quotes here because if it's at the wrong time, is it really a Passover service? I don't know. But so literally thousands, maybe even millions of lambs, way too many to kill and prepare after sunset at the beginning of the 15th. Even way too many to kill and prepare during the full 24 hours of the 14th. So many, in fact, that they would have had to start killing their lambs on the 13th. And by doing that, they were in effect worsening their disobedience to the Lord's instructions even more. So hence the phrase, when the Passover must be killed. So, once again, just to be absolutely clear, according to the Lord's instructions in Exodus chapter 12 and other scriptures as well, the correct time for the Passover lambs to be killed, prepared, roasted and eaten was after sunset at the beginning of Abib 14. And on Jesus' last Passover night, last Passover of his human life, as well as on all of his previous Passovers, he and the disciples kept the Passover in strict obedience to his own scriptural instructions at its proper time and in a proper place. Brethren, they absolutely did not, as some have preached, they absolutely did not keep that Passover one night early because Jesus wouldn't be alive to keep it at its proper time. No, 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 absolutely not. As we saw last week in part two, or part three, the Passover preparations for the Jerusalem area residents, though no doubt still busy, would not have been quite as hectic as for the many out-of-town visitors, and some of them who would have had to travel long distance to get into town. But for the past week or two, before Jesus' last Passover, he and his disciples had been temporary residents of the Jerusalem area, alternating between the temple area in the daytimes and the relative safety of Bethany and or the Mount of Olives at night time. But now, on Abib 13, the day leading up to that Passover night, they needed to find a secure and comfortable indoor place in which to keep this very special Passover. Okay, still in Luke chapter 22 now, continuing in verse 8. Verse 8, "And he," Jesus, "sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." Verse 9, "And they said to him, What are you talking about, Jesus? You've got the wrong day. You're a whole day early. We don't need to be preparing the Passover until tomorrow." Is that what it says? Is that what they said? No. Not one of the four gospel accounts records either disciple as expressing any surprise whatsoever at this instruction from Jesus. No, not either of them. Not the usually meticulously detailed John, nor the usually exuberant and outspoken Peter. No, rather, they simply asked, still in verse 9, "Where will you that we prepare?" And of course, Jesus had already found the perfect place, verse 10. "And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, The master says unto you, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished. There make ready." There make ready. Another question. Did Peter and John drag their feet? Perhaps thinking that Jesus had made some serious mistake with his Passover timing? No. They simply obeyed. They simply obeyed. And in doing so, they found they were actually, and we're actually given a miraculous proof of the correct timing. Verse 13. "And they went and found..." You can add the word "just" in there. "They found just as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." And by the way, brethren, these verbs here, "make ready" and "made ready" in verses 12 and 13, they're translated from exactly the same Greek verb as that that's translated into the word "prepare" in verses 8 and 9. The word is etimasate, which is Strong's 2090, and means to get everything ready and to make the necessary preparations. So that's the sermonette for today, brethren. This completes our studies of the scriptural accounts of the preparations for five of the Passovers of Jesus' human lifetime, and the one from his youth, and the four final ones from during the time of his adult ministry. Now, on our our Passover night, tomorrow night, we will, of course, as we always do, we'll be reading through some of the details of Jesus' last Passover night as a human being. During the week ahead, during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, we'll be reviewing some of the events, including some events that can be correctly considered as preparation events that took place during the daytime portion of that Passover day of 30 AD and during the rest of that crucifixion and resurrection week.